It is The Drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Let's continue our Illini basketball transfer portal talk. I feel like cut and paste that, put it in every show the rest of the month, and we're good.
Yeah, pretty much. On the note of the transfer portal, you just mentioned it coming out. The Calipari quote from his introductory press conference was so indicative of the era of college basketball we're in. He says, "I met with the team. There is no team. There's no team. I gotta put together an entire new team here." That pretty much, if you're a first year head coach now in the transfer portal era, you start with zero.
Yep, 100%.
You start with zero, and you have to put 13 scholarships together in one month period.
Does Eric Musselman have much there at USC? I don't think so. I don't know that. Pat Kelsey at Louisville, they didn't have anything before the season was over.
Yeah, and he's Louisville's getting a visit for every transfer that's in the portal. So it's like, let's shoot your shot with everybody. If you're in the portal, you get a call from Louisville, probably get a call from Arkansas.
Is Cal going to keep up the tradition of every portal guy gets a call from Arkansas, or is that over?
I think USC is going to take on that tradition for sure. Cal, I think the thing is Cal's still going to recruit freshmen, right? I mean, he's never going to give that up. And Kentucky had an unbelievable class coming in. He might just bring that entire class with him to Arkansas and have another freshman-laden roster. Now, I think he'll also probably go to the portal pretty heavily too, but I don't know if Cal's going to change his approach now that he's at Arkansas. I think he's still probably – and I guess the other question would be, can he still get the same level of recruiting classes out of high school that he got at Kentucky? Is it a Cal thing, or is it a Cal mixed with Kentucky thing? Maybe he's not going to quite get the same – five-star guys at Arkansas, mm-hmm. and so he's going to be forced to get a little older and go to the portal, which honestly might benefit Arkansas.
Could help him, for sure. Now, Musselman was getting some star freshmen like Nick Smith Jr. that they had.
He'll still get some.
Right. Anthony Black. The year that Illinois played him, they had some really high-end freshmen blended with transfers, and that probably, to your point, is the best possible path for Cal. Now, they had some of that this past year with an older guy like Antonio Reeves and Trey Mitchell. And I don't know that – did you come away with, yes, super disappointing them losing to Oakland, and maybe if they had some older guards, like I know that – was it Dillingham, obviously, and why am I blanking
Reed
on
Shepherd.
Reed Shepherd. Reed Shepherd was a zero in that game against Oakland. Was that another – log on the fire of this is a bad way to build in the portal? Or they had a really good year, though.
I think no one is complaining about having a backcourt of Dillingham and Shepherd. Like,
right.
Those guys are maybe the most talented backcourt in the country.
Yeah.
But I think when you go too heavily into the – it just there's so much inconsistency with freshmen still. And – like you saw with those guys weren't the most consistent, even though their flashes were NBA lottery pick flashes, mm-hmm. and that's why they're both going to be that. But then you also had, like, their big man rotation was freshman, freshman, freshman,
right.
And they're three centers. So it's like you got nobody to rely on. I know you have Antonio Reeves there, who was a fifth-year transfer from a couple years ago. You had Trey Mitchell in there, who was an older transfer. So he started to mix it in with older guys, but at the end of the day, like, 75% of the rotation is still freshmen, and
it's true.
Don't think, especially while we have the COVID year still going around, like, it's a team that has an average age of 19 versus a team that has an average age of 23. You can have a lot more talent at 19, but I just running into so many older teams, I think, has probably hurt Kentucky in this kind of five-year period that they've struggled in the tournament, because ultimately, you know, freshmen on a big stage in the NCAA tournament playing against guys that have been there four times and are mm-hmm. 23 in their fifth year of college,
mm-hmm.
Kentucky can be more talented, but that might not matter for 40 minutes.
No, I agree with that. I think the overarching point of have they messed up or picked the wrong lane or not been adjustable enough to the portal and how old these teams are with COVID years and everything, that's all very, very fair. Last year, they... in a must-win year with a lot of pressure, I thought they had a really, really good season. Maybe they just caught a bad break with Jack Golkey making, what was it, eight threes in that game for Oakland. So that was something where, yes, the end result was more of the same, them not getting the second weekend, which has been far too long. They haven't been to a Sweet 16 since 2019. That's not good enough, obviously, at Kentucky. And I do think they could have dabbled a little bit more on the side of transfers. You look at it, they could have used a Tristan Newton to go with maybe some of those other, yes, you know, Reed Shepherd, and they were bringing Dillingham off the bench anyway, have that microwave score.
They were bringing Dillingham and Shepherd off the bench for like the whole year. I don't know what they were doing there.
Isn't that crazy? So I think that he will still, obviously, I mean, he's going to be a factor in the SEC. I mean, Musselman went to, prior to this year, was it three straight Sweet 16s, two straight Elite Eights? Was that what it was?
Yeah. Yep.
Or at least two out of the last 3 years prior to this year had been to the Elite Eight. So that's a good program. That's a program that's got a lot of commitment as far as NIL goes. We did get a text from Wade. Did Cal take his assistants with him? That hasn't been – it's still slow moving with Cal being officially announced, which obviously he has. He had his press conference there in Fayetteville. But I've heard that Orlando Antigua is expected to join him there at Arkansas. I don't know where Chin Coleman's going to end up. I would doubt that he's going
to
be there.
It seems like that's a guy that Cal's going to be, you know, running to bring with him.
I don't imagine so. Maybe if it means they got a better chance at AJ Store, I don't know. I wonder if Arkansas jumps in on the AJ Store pursuits, but that's going to be interesting. To your original point, how they kind of operate as far as their approach, will they be more portal reliant? Will they have to be, because maybe Arkansas? One thing I wanted to add, Cal can talk all he wants about the guys that he's gotten to the league, especially like one and dones and everything, which is still true. Like it's his resume that he has, and it precedes his time at Kentucky with Derrick Rose, obviously.
I think if all the guys projected to get drafted in this draft do end up getting drafted, he'll have sent 50 players to the NBA in 15 years at Kentucky.
Oh, my God.
50.
That's insane. But it is a different level knowing and seeing some of you walk in the building at Kentucky as a recruit and you see John Wall and Anthony Davis and all those guys on the wall, and they have like a backdrop of the draft success that really just hits you, like Jamal Murray. There's a nut, like as you said, we could sit here the rest of the show and name them to get to the 50 some that they've had, but maybe that's a little different where it's not at Arkansas. You kind of sometimes in a new place need guys that you've had at that program to really have it resonate the same way. But people still associate, you know, it's not like Cal was doing this 5 years ago at Kentucky and you got people who were in middle school who are the next crop of recruits. They all still know who is sending these guys to the NBA. So I think it will be still a part of his appeal.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. And I just, man, it's one of those moves where it just is going to have such a ripple effect on so many other areas of college basketball. Like John Calipari leaving for Arkansas that in and itself is shocking and is going to be very interesting to see how that plays out for Kentucky and Arkansas. But then we talk about everything else, and it's just that's one of those where Calipari and Kentucky have been a staple at the top of the sport for 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
And how is that going to change? Can he get Arkansas to that level? Will Kentucky be able to maintain it without him, especially if you mentioned during this last break, sounds like Mark Pope from BYU, a former Kentucky player, is a guy that they're starting to look at now. Like, if you ran Calipari off for Mark Pope, Kentucky might not be Kentucky for a little while here. I'd be very skeptical of that one.
That'd be insane. And Lon brought up the Billy Gillespie coaching there. I'm not going to say that Mark Pope would be Billy Gillespie by any means, but I'm still in the camp of it's easy to kind of quick trigger, they miss on a couple of guys and to completely freak out, whether it's going to be the Kentucky fan base or whether it's going to be other fan bases kind of clowning Kentucky and laughing at them like, look what you push out the door with Calipari. There's still so many good options out there, in my opinion. Billy Donovan being one, Sean Miller being another one, Mark Few, if that's a possible addition. I think as much as people hate him around here, Bruce Pearl would be a good hire for them. there in Lexington as well. What do you make of Pearl? Because I was looking on Kentucky's 24/7 site, and they have their updated hot board. A couple names: Bruce Pearl, Chris Beard, Billy Donovan, Rick Pitino, and then they said a mystery mid-major guy, Wes Miller from Cincinnati. Like, that obviously wouldn't move the needle a whole lot, but those first four, Pitino, Donovan, Beard, and Pearl, those would all be good hires. Some different levels, like Donovan would be a grand slam, Beard potentially based on what he's done before.
If you want to give yourself the best chance to win a national title in the next 5 years, then you'd go with Pitino. But if you want a guy that you can have for the next 15, 20 years, it probably would be not him. Like, I don't, of course. That one is, I don't know. Obviously, he'd be fantastic there, and they'd be competing for national titles until he retires, but he probably retires in 5 years or whatever. I think Bruce Pearl would be good there. I mean, he's a good coach. I know, obviously, Illinois fans not a fan of
his. How dare you say something nice about
him. But he is a good coach, and I think, any of these guys, it's Kentucky. Like, if you're a good basketball coach, you'll have success at Kentucky. I mean, to nitpick each of these guys, I don't really know if I have specific thoughts on them, but I think that's a decent list there. And obviously, we talked about Billy Donovan. I think that would be my first choice.
Should Bruce Pearl be higher on the priority list than Brad Underwood? He's been to a Final Four, something that Brad hasn't done.
Yeah, I think he should.
Recently, last 3 years,
they're about the same
wins,
age,
21
too, right?
wins, 27 wins. That's a good question.
Bruce Pearl's got to be.
He is early 64. 60s.
Okay, so
Brad Underwood.
Brad's 60, right?
Yeah, I think you're right.
They're close.
60, yeah. Bruce being a little bit older there, that's interesting.
I think Bruce has a better body of work than Brad has at this point. And also at a place like Auburn that I think is a program that hadn't done almost anything until he had taken him to a Final Four. There's something to be said for that as well.
For sure. You look at I wanted to run through this real quick. The USA Today coaches' salaries. Self is the highest paid coach in basketball right now on an annual basis, and definitely in terms of this past year's earnings. $9.6 million was what he earned this past year. Calipari was $8.5 million. Izzo, a little over six. Bruce Pearl, 5.7 to be exact. Rick Barnes, 5.7. Scott Drew, a little more than 5 mil. Dan Hurley, which is going to go up, 5 million.
Dan Hurley should be number one. make him a contract that makes sure he never leaves there until he's done coaching.
It's true. Brad Underwood, eighth in the country, 4.7 million. Then it goes Kelvin Sampson, 4.6. Nate Oates, 4.5 to round out the top 10.
If you're Kentucky, wouldn't you just make a phone call to a guy like Kelvin Sampson and say,
sure, yeah,
here's an offer, and say no to it? Because making $4.5 million, Kentucky could double that if they wanted to.
For sure. I think that maybe the one thing, Kelvin Sampson's up there in age.
Yeah.
And he has it in line where his son's going to be the next coach whenever he's done. So that would ruin that. Like, I doubt he gets that guarantee at Kentucky. He wouldn't, period.
Houston's got like seven of their top nine guys coming back next year. They'll probably be the national title favorite preseason.
And they can just, they're on an incredible roll. They recruit really well. They identify what they want for their style of play. They have a lot of appeal in the portal, too. I imagine the money's not dry there as far as Houston goes. So that's a good situation for him. But, yeah, I mean, if you are looking at the top 10, then there is some. I wonder about Tommy Lloyd. Would Kentucky call Tommy Lloyd? He hasn't won in the tournament, though.
If you're running Cal off because he can't win in the NCAA tournament, you're not hiring Tommy Lloyd and expecting to win that press conference with the fan base.
That's a great call. I'll go down here. Matt Painter?
He would never leave Purdue.
Such different styles of build, too.
There's certain coaches that are just such a perfect fit where they're currently at. Like, Dan Hurley's one of them. Matt Painter is one of them.
That's a great call.
Kelvin Sampson is one of them at Houston. Like, there's some that you don't want to mess up what you have in a perfect situation that's perfect for you. And Painter, the other thing about Painter is he's so, like, by the book, squeaky clean, does everything. He wants to build the old-fashioned way.
Yep.
He would not do well with what Kentucky would want him to do.
100%. Yeah. But in terms of winning, resume, thought to be one of the best coaches in the country for sure, just different styles. Absolutely. Chris Beard, I mean, he went to the national title game at Texas Tech.
It'd be the off-court baggage of that one, although a lot of these guys have. It's different, right?
Yeah, right, obviously. Yeah, that's interesting for sure. I don't know that you'd have to worry too much as far as Brad goes, but admittedly, once you get past the – if Sean Miller says no, if Billy Donovan says no, how many people would have to say no after that? Bruce Pearl would have to say no. Mark Pope, though.
He wouldn't Brad Underwood, say no. Yeah, that's the thing. Like, if you get to Mark Pope before Brad Underwood, he's not saying no.
Mark Pope shouldn't be before Brad Underwood.
It's just because he played there. That's it.
Gotcha. It wasn't for me. Derek on the U of I Atlanta League text line. Thoughts on Jay Wright. Jay Wright said on the broadcast that he doesn't have any interest in, number one, that job, but also leaving his current position, sitting in the booth. Again, I mean,
Jay Wright was just one of those guys that right at the beginning of this seismic shift in college basketball, he said, I'm not doing this, and he's done, and he doesn't have any interest in coming back.
He's already won two titles, or was it three? Two titles.
Two, he was in the national championship game one other time.
He was in the final
four. Or in the final four.
Final four is last year, I know that.
Yes. Yeah, so three final fours, two national titles for him. Could honestly be shortchanging him there, but you got to respect that. If he's, I mean, he is going to be a Hall of Fame coach, and he said, I'm not doing this with the new age of college basketball, and he stood firm on that, and he's really good on TV too.
Yep. Oh, he's awesome. I want more of him and less of Kenny Smith on my TV when it comes to March Madness coverage. That's an aside, but I feel like I had to say that. I did want to give a quick note. We're going to catch a break, and we'll get to some more of the Illinois talk as far as Merez Johnson, like you brought up. I do want to hit on, because we talked about it yesterday, I haven't gotten to it, the possible two-year build, whether intentional or not, that Illinois is compiling here in the transfer portal, especially if they take these next steps with like a Kylan Boswell, get him on board. If they get AJ Storer on board, even though he would admittedly be very – much intentional on coming here for 1 year than going to the NBA draft, but so was Terrence Shannon when he arrived, and maybe a second year at Illinois could possibly benefit him where he'd stay 2 years. But even if we don't count Storer, if we're just talking Boswell, if we're just talking Trey White, Jake Davis, knowing Merez could be here for multiple years, knowing that Fears is coming a year from now, just Is Illinois doing that intentionally, and is there a benefit to adding guys in multiple years of eligibility? I do want to touch on that before we get out of here. Before we catch this break, though, let's do a little bit of work. Let me tell you about Busey, and it's America Saves Week, which runs through April 8th through the 12th, widely recognized national campaign where thousands of organizations join together to collectively encourage their communities to focus on their individual financial wellness. Celebrate America Saves Week with these tips from Busey. Save automatically. The easiest way to save, do it automatically, where a portion of your paycheck is then kept and transferred into your savings. You can set that up through Busey. Save for the unexpected. This past year has taught us that we have to be prepared as possible for the unexpected. We all have future savings goals, have an emergency fund to support present unaccounted for needs, car breakdown, dental bill, last minute fun trip, possibly, that you've been grinding at work and you need to get away. That can also be something that if you have some money stashed, that can make that a much less stressful situation. Save for retirement, save by reducing your debt, and save as a family. How much better would Americans be with money if we were to be intentional about teaching good money and savings habits at a young age? For a fun and animated program to teach kids about earnings and savings, visit Busey.com/financial pathways. Busey, go to Busey.com. Busey, member FDIC. In an ever-changing real estate market, it is so important to work with experienced agents like Russ and Nick Taylor with the Taylor teams at Taylor Realty Associates. They have the knowledge and expertise to get your home sold for the most amount of money in the shortest amount of time. Trust the experience and success of Russ and Nick Taylor with the Taylor team at Taylor Realty Associates. Give them a call today at 217-355-0700 or visit them online at taylorboys.com. That's taylorboys.com.
Join Cunningham Children's Home April 12th and 13th for the 20th Annual Festival of Quilts. It's a great event that you don't want to miss. Enjoy all the festival has to offer, including the quilt sale, home decor, gift shop, bake sale, campus tours, and more. Proceeds from the signature fundraiser will help to meet the critical needs of the youth and families Cunningham serves each year. That's the Festival of Quilts, April 12th and 13th. Visit cunninghamhome.org to learn more.
Local, personal, trusted. Hi, this is Atta Durakan with First Federal Savings Bank of Champaign-Urbana, and we've been serving Champaign County since 1908. Our institution is safe, strong, and stable. We operate on a foundation of responsible and sound practices, and you can rest easy knowing we're your bank. Rated 5-star superior by Bauer Financial, Inc. Fast, friendly, and local. With local loan decisions and underwriting, if you're not already banking with us, give us a try, and we think you'll love it here. First Federal Savings Bank, 356bank.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS. 435-120.
Hi, I'm Tyler Weaver, president of Carpet Weaver's Flooring and Furniture Gallery. Take a look around your home. Is it finally ready for some much-needed updates? If you don't know where to start, then just meet with one of our experts. We'll help you find the perfect waterproof plank floor for your kitchen or that stain-resistant, super-soft carpet for your bedroom. Finish your room update with a custom sofa and chairs, or choose a trendy in-stock dining set that's priced right. Come home to Carpet Weavers, where floors, furniture, and family meet.
Illini fans, this year we celebrate the 100th anniversary of Memorial Stadium for the 2024 Fighting Illini football season. Season tickets for the 2024 football season are on sale now, and Illini fans who renew their season tickets by February 1st are eligible to win amazing prizes, memorabilia, and experiences. Secure your season tickets for homecoming, Dad's Day, and a special rededication of Memorial Stadium on October 19th against Michigan. Visit FightingIllini.com for more information.
It seems like the cost of everything is on the rise, but Erie Insurance can help make sure your auto insurance premium isn't one of them. Avoid rate increases with Erie Rate Lock. Even if you have a claim, your rates won't go up until you change a car, driver, or address.
Your Erie agent in Champaign is Thomas and Eller's Insurance.
Erie Rate Lock is not available in all states. Other conditions and limitations at erieinsurance.com. Go to erieinsurance.com for company licensure and product details.
An April tradition continues as the most powerful late models on the planet make a stop in Illinois. The World of Outlaws Case Construction Equipment late models are back at Farmers City Raceway for the Illini 100. Don't miss the World of Outlaw Superstars and the Extreme Outlaw Midgets on one big stage. Friday and Saturday, April 12th and 13th. Visit worldofoutlaws.com for the details.
You know, it's the start of the Masters, and I probably should give an update on what's going on there in Augusta. By the way, it was funny. We were out in Boston. Now, admittedly, not everybody's going to be a golf fan, but we were at a Boston bar, and there were a group of Boston bros. I'll call them that. And we tweeted about this, Joey and I, but in case you missed it, one of them was like, there's a tease for the Masters on CBS. We're like, Augusta, where's that? Maryland? We're like, what is wrong with you? I don't know. No, it was not Maryland. We didn't like poke fun at them because, you know, there were a lot more of them than there were of us. And it's kind of the idea that we didn't want to throw down with some Boston guys. But, you know,
that's not the crowd that you want to really be throwing down with.
I don't think so. No, I'll leave it at that. anyways, it was kind of funny. It is in Georgia, and Bryson DeChambeau, 7-under, fired a 65 today. He is the leader there of round one. Of course, the now live golfer who has talked before a little bit arrogantly about his driving ability at Augusta and how he can kind of own that course. And really, he's been wrong up to today where he's not played well there in this tournament. But at the top of the leaderboard, as it stands right now, Scotty Scheffler, 4-under. I don't know who Willett is at 4-under as well, but Will Zalatoris, one of my guys, -4 as well through 16. Matt Fitzpatrick in 5th at -3. Action still going for a while, I imagine. I think Brooks Koepka was one of the last to tee off. He's only like 4 holes in at this point. So a lot of action there in Augusta, one of the best, I would say the best golf tournament of the year. Excited to check out some of that action. I did dabble a little bit.
Yeah, wagering wise. I was gonna ask anything on Derek Piper's bet slip.
I put a top 10 in for Will Zalatoris. He's my guy. In a lot of big tournaments, he's been in the mix at the very least. He hasn't really won a big tournament, but he seems to always find himself in contention there on Sunday. I put outrights in on – I'm back on the Victor Hovland bandwagon, so I bet him. I bet Cam Smith. I bet Brooks Koepka, who always plays well in majors – and Joaquin Neiman, who's been killing it on the LIV Tour. So I did a little research yesterday, got a couple of bets off. Had to get some action on this tournament, which I was going to be watching anyway. But Maxwell asks about Tiger. Let's see. Where is he out on the board?
He is even through 5.
Even through 5. Just hope it's not another one of these tournaments he has to withdraw from.
Right.
And obviously, you got to make the cut first, but... we'll see how that goes. Phil Mickelson. I had forgotten Phil finished tied for 2nd last year. He had an amazing last final round to put himself tied for 2nd with Brooks Koepka, and the winner was John Rahm. But Phil +1 today, shot a 73, so not a great start for him.
Rahm even through 15, so not the best first round for him.
Yep. Lon's guy, Ricky Fowler, +4.
Yikes.
Through 17, he's not in great shape. So there's your Masters update for now. My guy Victor Hovland -2. I mentioned Willie Z -4. Yeah, we'll in case anything else pops up here, we'll give you another update before the show is out.
One more quick thing to mention is that we are back streaming online. Our online stream of ESPN 93.5 has been down for about a week now. I know a lot of people have texted in, but we are back online. So steviej.com, if you want to stream our show online, we should be good to go now. Sorry about that. But the guys upstairs have been working to fix that, so we're back on the air.
Perfect. Perfect. I like it. Marcus is going to lead us into the topic we've been wanting to discuss for the last 2 days and finally going to get to it. He says on the U of I Land Link text line, BU is treating this just like he built JUCO teams 1 or 2 year windows. It's a good point. I mean, you pretty much, in the word around college basketball, but also more centrally located here, has been it's one. And I'm sure it's different for Matt Painter. Not saying that he doesn't worry or wonder about whether it's a freshman, whether it's a guy like a Mason Gillis who can transfer at any time, who's in the portal right now, that you have to keep in mind 1 year at a time and can't take anything for granted about any player, really, that still has eligibility and player movement as far as the freedom to bounce around. But for Illinois specifically, how much they can and want to dabble in the portal, it's 1 year roster builds. That's kind of how it's been phrased here of late, especially when it was all in win now mode this past year. You had 1 more year of Shannon. You had 1 more year of Hawkins. I know he could come back if he wanted to, but it was pretty clear that his mind was 1 more season, 1 last ride, and going and getting Damask, going and getting Guerrier, and making this a very old team. Kyle, the top 8 in the rotation, the average age was 22. So it was a 1 year, let's go for a run, and they did to the Elite 8. Now is it going to be possibly a two-year construction. Not saying that next year couldn't be pretty darn good, which I think it could, especially if you get Kylan Boswell, if you get AJ Storr, if you get Dante Maddox. That's a really talented trio with some nice supporting cast pieces coming back. Trey White, if he plays up to his potential, could be a pretty good player. But let's get to this. Is Brad up to something with possibly loading this thing up for the 25-26 season, or is it just a coincidence?
I think he's up to something, truly. Like, you go after younger guys, I think that there is a thought that, listen, I mean, yeah, you have to rebuild every offseason, and, you know, there's moving parts, and you got to treat everybody as like a one-year player, and you almost have to treat every player on a college roster now that they're like on a one-year deal, like in the pros. Like, they're going to be a free agent, and they're going to hear people call them, and we got to like bring them back and re-sign them if we want them. But I think it's clear that, you know, you wouldn't be recruiting four different like sophomores if you didn't have a pattern there, if there wasn't a plan of, yeah, we want to build a new core that'll be together for 2 years. That seems like what they're trying to do here. And that's mixed in with some of the younger guys they already have. Merez Johnson, freshman next year. You hope that he's going to be a really good player as a sophomore. Jeremiah Fears coming in 2 years from now, who you're excited about. Hansberry and Sincere Harris, if you have him. Ty Rogers still has 2 years left. Like, I think Illinois has kind of a two-year plan here. Now, that it's not going to go to a T, because you're probably going to lose a couple of those pieces. But I think Brad Underwood has an idea in mind of like, next year we're going to piece a brand new group together, and we're going to have talent, and we're going to obviously try to win, but there might be some ups and downs and some, you know, first year in the program for a lot of these guys. And it might look a little bit, I'm not trying to say it's going to be the same situation as 2 years ago, but it might look a little bit like that, where there's going to be some ups and downs. But then if we can have some continuity 2 years from now, all of a sudden you're looking at like a Final Four roster. Mm-hmm. And that continuity can go a long way, because there's probably going to be eight other teams in the Big Ten that have 10 new guys. And maybe we'll only need to, if we have our core back for a second year, maybe it'll be similar to this past year for Illinois, where we can get the Marcus Damask and the Quincy Guerrier to supplement the guys coming back. And it's not a situation where all of a sudden you're seven of your top nine rotation players are brand new again. I think there's something to that. I'd be surprised if it's just pure coincidence that almost all these guys, maybe with the exception of Dante Maddox, are guys with multiple years of eligibility left. And I think that there's probably a two-year plan that's being put together by this staff.
Yep, I'm with you. I think that there still is, like you said, a major emphasis on winning this upcoming season, which they could do, because they could be talented enough to do so, if we're talking about them landing the players they're in the mix for as of right now. I think they would still, even if they get, let's say that they get what they want, and what they want is Kylan Boswell, Dante Maddox, AJ Storr. It sounds like they're going to make a push for Kerry Booth, which is, I think, tipping the hand a little bit of the approach and some of this interest in making that a 2 year window, because they could go out and get Xavier Amos, who's more proven, who's older, more proven in terms of his numbers in college, coming from Northern Illinois, and he would be a senior, versus you have Kerry Booth being a young sophomore. I know you've got Ben Humrickhouse from Evansville, who's I think he's a fourth or fifth year guy, 1 year of eligibility, who I know they're still involved with. Indiana's interested in as well. Good shooter, but he's an older guy that you could get as a one-year rental. But instead, they seem to be prioritizing Kerry Booth, taking their first swing at him to try to get him, to see if they can tap into that upside. And I think it will take more than 1 year to do that, to work on his body and to get the most out of him. So that, to me, is signifying some of that as well. Trey White, could he explode this year in the right situation in a winning culture, where he actually commits to playing defense, improves his shot selection? Yeah, maybe. But if I'm looking at it as far as maybe realistic outcomes as him being a role player, maybe he has an all-conference type year in a best-case situation and is a second-round pick or or whatnot, a late to mid second round pick. Maybe that is that too much? I don't know, but it might take 2 years in college to fully really explode and get that draft stock where it could have been previously as a former five-star coming out of high school. So I think that there's enough talent for next year if AJ Storr is that stud, if Kylan Boswell plays like one of the best three or four point guards in the Big Ten, that Illinois can be a real factor next year. But yes, I do believe that the second year could really, really, really be something that Illinois would have the pieces to make a lot of noise. And like you said, there have to be a lot of value in not hunting out seven pieces again in the portal for Illinois. In terms of just what I knew about Terrence, the difference between year one Terrence and year two Terrence,
yes,
at Illinois. And look, AJ Storr's floor as far as what he's shown already at the high major is higher than what Terrence had shown at Texas Tech. So that may be a little bit of a difference. But I think even if AJ's a little bit easier of getting him to buy into the alpha role and all that in year one, I think that maybe Kylan is ready as a second year at Illinois, as a senior then, to be the guy that has a little bit more of the lay of the land, a little bit more stake in the program, a little bit better and closer of a relationship with Brad, a little bit, you know, what it would take to be an established alpha as a point guard at that point if he's back for a second year. And I think that really matters. And I think that the floor would be a lot higher with, you know, Merez is a sophomore versus a freshman that's going to go through inconsistency, that's going to be maybe not quite as, not that he's not physically strong because he's a monster, but he might get in foul trouble this year. He might just be sped up offensively and not be able to play as calm in the paint or be able to knock down as many mid-range jump shots. And I think that Jeremiah Fears coming in and being an option at guard could really obviously give a huge shot in the arm as well, as someone that with another year of high school can be ready to come in and make an impact. So I don't think it's a coincidence either. I do think if they felt like the best option was a one-year guy, whether it's going to be 1 year of eligibility or 1 year likely to then go to the draft, they'll go get those players. But I think if there is that value or that option to get someone that could stick around for a few years, we saw what it meant for Terrence. And on the flip side, we saw, you know, how tough it was. Matthew Meyer and Terrence Shannon coming in, one-year guys. It was hard to really to get comfortable in that situation or just to really, you know, I don't know what the right way to say it is, but fully embrace being a star as an Illini, especially when there wasn't established pieces coming back the previous year.
Yeah, and I think already having the established guys. Now, I'm not saying you're going to have a Terrence Shannon and Coleman Hawkins coming back to a roster and those caliber of guys, but to be able last year to piece together, all right, you get those two guys who you can count on, and you get growth from Ty Rogers and growth from Luke Goody and growth from some of these other rotational pieces, and then you can supplement it with the guys that just fit around that, and you can be a little bit more selective, and maybe that's the time where you can go, all right, we want to just get older guys that we can piece in, and it's not a situation where you have to completely rebuild your starting lineup every year. I think you do have to balance that and just kind of figure out how to approach that as a coach where, yeah, you could just say, I'm going to go offer the best players in the portal and try to build the best team. And if they're all gone the next year, they're all gone the next year. And you know, you could probably build pretty good teams that way. But you also can kind of, without going fully back into the high school model of, you know, four-year guys and building for 1 year after the other, you can kind of do an abbreviated version of that in the portal and say, well, if we get it, three, four guys that have multiple years left, then we can actually think about 2 years from now and not just completely brush that off and say we're putting a roster together for 2024-25 and whatever happens after that happens. Like, I think that there's you can do both things and set yourself up for success more than 1 year down the line. And I feel like that's kind of what they're doing. If you think about, like, the, let's say Illinois gets the guys, they probably won't get all of them, but if they get the guys that they're bringing in for visits here coming up, plus AJ Store. So let's say they round out their transfer class, Kylan Boswell, Dante Maddox, AJ Store, Kerry Booth, plus you already got Trey White and Jake Davis. You'd have two guys on your entire roster that are out of eligibility after this year. It'd be Maddox and Luke Goody. Correct me if I'm wrong.
True. No, you're right.
And you're not going to get everybody back. We know that someone's going to leave. AJ Store might go to the draft. Someone else, Kerry Booth, might turn into a draft prospect, whatever it is. But that would be a good feeling. You'd feel comfortable, even if you're not getting every guy back, you'd feel comfortable you're getting a majority of that core back.
You'd think.
And, yeah, I mean, obviously you want to win next year, and I'm not saying that roster couldn't win next year. That'd be real one of the most talented rosters in the conference next year.
Of course.
But even if there maybe were some ups and downs from certain guys and some adjustments that need to be made, I think you'd feel amazing about 25-26. If you bring 80% of those guys back, obviously you're going to still be active in the portal. You bring in Fears. Merez Johnson's a sophomore. Like, all of a sudden you're talking about preseason Final Four team.
I agree with that for sure. Do you think there's enough in terms of those coming back that there's a carryover of the culture of just what it took to get the right blend last year? Now, part of it is recruiting the right guys in the portal, bringing in guys that will be team guys versus me guys, being guys that will just be bought into winning and understand a role and all of that. So I think that's important too, even whether or not you have a – do you have a solidified starter that's coming back from last year's team on this year's team that's upcoming? But with Luke Goody, with Ty Rogers, with – If he's back, you know, Amani, if he's back, Sincere, is that enough, in your opinion, that helps the transition period? And how many guys would you need back for that to matter, do you think? Does it matter?
It does matter. I think it does matter. We saw it, how much it mattered 2 years ago for Illinois.
Right.
Like, we saw that. I'm not saying that they're the same things are going to happen, and it's a completely new group of guys. You're not relying on freshman point guards like you did then. I'm not trying to make that comparison. It's just you draw some parallels based on the fact that that offseason Illinois pretty much brought in an entire new rotation. They're doing the same thing now. I think there's enough that Illinois has coming back where, and I also think that Brad Underwood has learned a lot about how to maintain that even with newer guys. Like, I think you look at how Marcus Damask fit in last year and Guerrier, and I think Underwood has learned a lot about maintaining that, even if there is a big crop of newer guys. But I think you probably have enough. But that also speaks to the importance of, like, if this is a multiple-year plan, like, you'll for sure have that 2 years from now. Like, if you cannot recycle an entire new starting five every offseason, then you can have that for certain years. And I think that you still want to have some carryover, even though you want to adapt. And Brad Underwood has proven that he is going to be as active as any coach out there in the portal. You still want to be able to count on continuity year over year. You don't want to make it a situation where it is like, yeah, our top eight rotation players are brand new every offseason. Like, that's not a sustainable way of doing things. So I think you can have that, and you can build with that in mind. I think for this year, you probably have enough coming back that I think you can feel comfortable that there's going to be enough carryover. At the same time, you might be starting four or five new guys. So that's going to take some getting used to, and that's going to obviously have some chemistry issues early probably.
Yeah, I do think it helps that when you have Ty Rogers as a guy that has – he started most of the year last year. So at Luke Goody, who has played, what was he at, around 20 minutes a game last season and shot it well from three and made some good contributions in the postseason, as he has really every year. It helps that those guys garner a little bit more respect than, say, like RJ Melendez and Luke coming back, freshman going into sophomore, where they hadn't really done anything. So I think that when you have players that have done something on the previous team that went to the Elite Eight, and I'm not saying that, you know, Kylan and if Kylan was in here and AJ Starr was in here and Trey White comes in here, that they're going to just completely take this car off the tracks. Because, you know, AJ Starr was part of, say what you want about him, if you're not a fan or Wisconsin, those who are close to the Wisconsin circle who say, oh, you know, he might have checked out in February and didn't want to defend and maybe he's a ball hog. I think that, you know, he was part of a team that was a five seed. He was part of a team that was in the Big Ten tournament championship game. They had a really good year for pretty much what the expectations were in Madison. Kylan was part of a team that was a two seed in the tournament that won the Pac-12 this past year. And they've had two really good seasons that he was there. So you are bringing in some guys in that sense, if you get them, that have done some winning. Trey White isn't completely allergic to it just because he went to Louisville for 1 year. At USC, they were a tournament team. So I do think that's interesting. But, yeah, I agree with you in terms of if you get some of those guys back the following year, that would be a big value. And I'm sure that's on the mind of the staff at the very least, even if they're just running into it with guys that they like and, oh, they also have multiple years. I think that's some of part of the evaluation. All right, we're due for one more break, and then we'll come back, wrap up the show. If you want to weigh in with any last questions, thoughts, 217-359-2255 on the U of I Atlanta Link text line. We'll be back. This is The Drive.
PDR Automotive has now been serving the Champaign-Urbana area for over 50 years. To give you some perspective, 50 years ago ended the U.S. involvement in the Vietnam War, and it was when Secretariat won the Triple Crown. So what does that mean for you and your vehicle? Whether you need a carburetor overhauled or your new vehicle computer system diagnosed or programmed, PDR Automotive has the experienced, knowledgeable staff that can handle all your automotive needs. Online at PDRauto.com, they are what's best for your truck or car. They are PDR.
At Pards in Urbana, the boots just keep on coming. They're known for their huge collection of men's cowboy boots, women's cowgirl boots, kids' boots, and even shoes. If you're searching for top footwear brands, look no further than Pards. They carry a wide variety, including Ariat, Dan Post, Smoky Mountain, Roper, Double H, and more. And if socks or accessories are what you need, they've got all your high-quality essentials. Since 1968, Pards has been serving their customers with high-quality merchandise. And if you haven't been to Pards in a while, a lot has changed. Go check them out just off University Avenue in Urbana.
The Bonnard Arts Festival runs April 12th through the 14th with several art displays and workshops around Champaign-Urbana. Urbana Park District has some special exhibits and workshops. On April 12th, Phillips Recreation Center will host photographer Tyson Cruz's display on nature. Cruz will be there to meet you between 5 and 5:45. Then there's a workshop from 5:45 to 6:30. All are welcome, and it's free. For details, visit urbanaparks.org. On April 13th, Tim Somerville, the artist, will be at Meadowbrook Park Interpretive Center from noon to 3, talking about his new and popular sculpture, Life on the Prairie. Learn more about his work with welded steel. Jeremy Cagle will be featured with collections of the unseen world on display at the Anita Purvis Nature Center. The art show will run through the end of May. Take a tour anytime with Urbana Arts and Sculpture Tour. All the details found at urbanaparks.org.
Finishing up here on The Drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Latest update on the Masters. Bryson DeChambeau still at the top of the leaderboard, -7. Scottie Scheffler making a run, though, -6. He's through 16 holes. There is a story out there, and coincidentally, Max Homa just popped up on the screen. Both him and Scheffler, their wives are expecting babies. I know that Scheffler's is due at the end of this month. He has said publicly that if she goes into labor, that he's leaving. No matter what hole he's on, he's walking off the course, he's gone, he's withdrawing. Hopefully, although I bet on other guys, so I'd say I'd be okay if the baby decides to show up. But for those that want to see one of the best golfers in the sport, maybe that that thing will hold off. I know you don't got to worry about that.
No, Kyle. I know, but I just from a father and a husband, what you're leading the Masters on Sunday and your wife goes into labor. Let's say Scotty Scheffler won one 2 years ago. Let's say you're Max Homa and you have a chance to win the Masters for the first and probably only time of your career. Uh-huh. What do you do?
Man, I'd probably leave.
That's the smart thing.
It's the right answer because you will be done playing golf at some point.
Yes. And, that's the right decision.
It is.
That's the right.
It's also something you would have that because as you'll learn and a lot of people, you know, sometimes it's more of a talking point, a joking thing than it actually is. But to have like a trump card at home where your wife might be nagging you about something. And you could just say, hey, remember when I was leading the Masters and I left for our son or daughter to be born? Like, give me a little bit of slack. Like, you would have that forever.
That's the best point of all.
That's an awesome card to have. So while it would stink and you'd always wonder what if, I think that'd be a great trump card that we all would love to have in our hand. I unfortunately don't have anything like that when it comes to little arguments and disputes. Anyways, you want to talk
real
about Merez Johnson?
Yeah, before we end, I mentioned it last hour and we did not get to it, but I just want to get we can continue this tomorrow if needed, but Merez Johnson, really high level prospect. This is a guy that's a borderline five star, mm-hmm. probably the biggest McDonald's All-American snub, one of the better recruits Illinois has ever gotten.
Yep.
I think he's going to be a monster now as a freshman. I've always kind of penciled him in as the starting center for Illinois. It feels to me like maybe Illinois isn't sold on that based on their front court pursuits. What are your thoughts? Would you feel comfortable saying, Merez Johnson, you're our guy at center next year? Do you think that Illinois needs to be aggressive with him in terms of recruiting? Not necessarily recruiting over, but giving him some insurance at that spot.
I definitely want insurance for sure because I think that with someone who's a freshman that plays a physical brand of basketball, like might get in foul trouble decent amount,
good point.
That you'd want someone that probably has experience that can maybe even teach him some things and have him learn from that has played, whether it's high major basketball, you're bringing somebody up from the mid-major level. Also, he's in that 6'9", 6'10 range. I think from what I've heard, the staff would love to have kind of a 7-footer, more of a shot blocker potentially. Now, Merez, with his athleticism, with his range, the way he moves, can block some shots. But and he's strong. Like that's one thing that I've always thought about him. I don't think he's going to come in looking like your traditional freshman.
No, it doesn't. But he looks like he's going to come in and look like a senior.
Yeah. No, he's got a lot of strength, muscle. I think he'll be able to battle in the paint pretty well, but I do think just you wonder about consistency, you wonder about foul trouble, that can he at least have some insurance? I don't think it's based on what I know right now, we can talk more about this, like you said, tomorrow or sometime next week as we go along this offseason, that I don't think they're banking on him being the starter as of right now. I think it's possible based on how some chips fall, but they would definitely want him to play. They definitely know he's talented enough and want to keep him happy because he's a great get for them, but it's not a foregone conclusion that he is a starter, but also not one that he's going to be playing the Dane Danger role next year either. So we'll see how that goes.
That makes sense. Yeah. But you mentioned the big point there. He's the one guy that you don't want to upset, that you don't want to recruit over, that you don't want to have any chance of him not wanting to be back for his sophomore season.
Correct.
He's that type of talent. So correct. I think that's something they probably have to balance.
I definitely want to see what he looks like as a sophomore. No doubt. No doubt. It's all very interesting. I hope people aren't worn out. I don't think they are of Illini basketball talk. The idea of playing GM and making all the pieces work. There's just so much happening every day as far as storylines in college basketball. The coaching carousel, the transfer portal, more names popping up by the day, and some big some big fish here recently. I know one guy I wanted to get to that we didn't, Omar Ballo from Arizona, the big man. Going to visit Indiana among some other suitors.
How about Carolina. No, Omar? There's so many better options than Indiana. Although it would be so funny, though, if they ran it back with another front court that is clunky.
Play Renew again at the four.
And Baco at the three, and they haven't gotten a guard yet. Have they got?
Did they get one?
They got a five-star freshman guard coming in, yeah. Bryson Tucker, right?
Yeah, but that's it. Some of the report is he's great at everything, but his shooting is kind of inconsistent. Shoot. Like, is Mike Woodson doing parody stuff?
Like every transfer I've seen connected to Indiana has been a center this offseason. I'm like, have you learned nothing?
Unbelievable. All right, we're out. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Just Kyle and I, but no problem with that. Talk Masters, talk more hoops and any happenings that happen between now and then. Everybody have a great night. Thanks for listening. This is The Drive.